Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Celebrity Stage Stories with Jerry Strauss. He is I am him, and we're all here together. Why? Because this is where we get to get up close, personal. We get to know some of your favorite entertainers from music, from comedy, from TV, from movies, whatever the case may be. If there's a stage that they have conquered, we're going to talk to them about it. We're going to talk to them about their journey, their past, their present, their future, everything you want to know about what makes them tick as performers. And this week, man, this is going to be a highlight. I am so excited about this. We're part of a press event for a movie that is debuting on January 22nd on Lifetime. It is called Vanished, Searching for My Sister. And this is not your typical Lifetime movie, folks. A gripping, dramatic tale. Real cool cast. Jasmine Guy from A Different World is in it. The headliner playing two different characters, sisters nonetheless. Tatiana Ali, you may know her from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And playing maybe just the scariest dude I've seen in a movie in a long, long time. He is the face, the voice you know from one of the most popular hip-hop groups of all time, Naughty by Nature. He is Tretch. He is here, and he is ready to talk. We're going to talk with him right now on Celebrity Stage Stories about your motivations for getting into acting and everything. I want to just go back a little bit further now and just talk about your history. Of course, people know you so many years from Naughty by Nature. I don't even know if I want to say it like this, but you tell me how you feel about it. I feel like I grew up with you guys. I feel like I grew up with you. Is that something you like hearing, though, or is that still a little bit weird?
Definitely, definitely, man. It's an honor, it's a privilege, like, to get to the point where you are considered being out there. Like, I tell my kids, my little nephew, respect your elders. Respect, it's like, it used to not be cool to be old, but it's like once you get in this world and see how life's so short, you know, getting old is a privilege and a blessing. So definitely, I love to hear anything like that, because that means I'm still in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, thinking about just the music game, you guys have obviously conquered that a long, long time ago and continue to be held in such high regard. I look back and I feel like you guys are one of those really few special artists or groups that kind of avoided being labeled either too pop or too street or too this or too that. You have that mass appeal, I think, to this very day. You've managed to balance everything. Everyone still loves Naughty by Nature, but how did you do that? Like, how do you manage that?
I mean, we had like a great team on Tommy Boy Records that we came out. We was actually signed to Warner Brothers, but they really didn't know what to do with us because they were such a big label. So they put us on their subsidiary, Tommy Boy, which knew more about hip hop. So we had the likes of like Charm Warren and everything else before we even came out. We was doing like the whole college runs and the urban radio stations and the R&B stations. So it's like, nobody could tell whether you're going to have pop success, you know, especially as a rap group in that time. So it wasn't like we went and it was like, oh, they're trying to be pop. They're trying to make a pop record. Like OPP, all the rest of those was like hip hop classics, but they wasn't looking like we was reaching to try to make a record that was a pop record. Like we didn't even know how to make like a hit. We just knew we had something different than anybody else. And of course, like any other artist, we was like, we pray this really jumps off. But we never could imagine that it would have crossed over like it did and hit a whole different market. So the streets was loving us. So once you get the streets to love you, it's like you already got your pass. Like back then, you needed to get a pass. Now everybody wants to come out and be considered a pop artist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They notice a lot of bags in that market.
Sure, sure. Now, at the same time, I mean, there's a popular interview clip that I think it's circulated around a lot on YouTube over the past, ever since it came out. Maybe it's been a couple of years now, with Eminem, where he talks about how he considered quitting when he was first starting out because he was taking a look at what you were doing and he felt like he would just never be that good. He would never reach the level that you were already hitting. Now, when you look back, you know, multi-platinum sales, of course, Grammy Award winning and all that. How important is that critical acclaim from your peers and from like inside the industry to you now as you look back at your whole career?
I mean, it's beautiful. It's like, you know, we're in an ego-driven business. You know what I mean? It's I'm the best. I'm the top of the mountain. I'm this, that, and the other, and all of this. So I've always been the one. You even look at the history with Hip Hop Array, the record. That record alone was just giving props to hip hop as a whole culture. It wasn't like we are hip hop or better than anybody in hip hop, or like never that. It was like, yo, this is a culture that took us out of the depths of hell and gave us an opportunity to do what we doing out here, loving it and everything else. So with that said, it's just we give the props, and I always tell people, like, they like, Tretch, you're not on the top 10, the top 20, the top list. I'm like, listen, I'm in a class of my own, and if you hear, I'm probably one of your favorite rappers' favorite rapper. Mm-hmm. So that accolade go along. Before, it's like, yeah, I got the Grammys, the AMAs, the all those awards and stuff, but when you get it, like, from your peers telling you that you did your thing, Kumo D got his report card out, like, that was out years ago, and people saying, like, Tretch, you got an A on the report card. Like, that for me is like getting up on stage at a major event accepting an award, but it's an award of my peers. So that means so much more to me because we're so much critical of each other because we're in a competitive art form.
Sure. Sure. We got a lot of feedback from social media. We announced you were going to be on the show. One of the things that a few different people asked, so I did want to hit it. And, you know, you talked about making songs without even really knowing how to make hits necessarily, but that's how it turned out just because of the quality of what you were doing. But you guys did a song, God, it has to be close to 20 years ago now. I don't know if I'd call it a throwaway. It was a song for a soundtrack by World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE. It was called Here Comes the Money. They used it for an entrance theme for one of their superstars, Shane McMahon, and they've been using it ever since, which means for 20 years, it's been played and bringing people to their feet for, you know, crowds of 10,000, 20,000, 80,000 people in a stadium. Do you remember the story of how that came about? Because that became like an iconic thing to that fan base all on its own.
Yeah, I mean, it was back like in the days where, you know what I mean? We call it, did our negotiations, you know, we're in an industry where they knew that we were like what the people labeled us, the anthem makers. So when they were doing it, they like now you see the best thing to do is find a hot rapper to co-sign what you're doing and put like a basic little soundtrack to it or a song to it or anything else that's promoting it because it could go just worldwide, you know. So it's a great marketing thing to get it. So we had some connection. I don't even remember exactly where, but it was after Flavor Unit and stuff. So it was like a lot of connects that we made through the years. You know, we tour, we do a gang of MLB, NBA, halftimes, NFL, all sports type stuff. So throughout the years, we met so many people and exchanged numbers. So we always made ourselves available to further the brand, you know. So that was just a blessing. Like, you could never know or label or say, you know what, this is going to be like the last Olympics or the Olympics before. Like, we had the Hip Hop Array was like the most played song throughout the Olympics. You feel me? So it's like you can never predict that or say this is going to be this, that, and the other. You just see what God's plan is and just accept the blessing.
Gotcha. Now, you've been acting for a long, long time now, back since the early 90s. When you were growing up and thinking about what your career was going to be and your artistic goals or whatever, like, where did acting fit into that? Like, was acting kind of side by side with music, or when did that enter into the picture as something you wanted to pursue regularly?
Nah, I mean, I think we all got a little actor in us. Like, when we growing up and our parents or our teachers or anybody comes or the police, and say, "Did you do?" Nope, I wasn't nowhere. Nope, double nope, and hell to the no. So I think like we all have a little acting skill in us, but where it came from professionally was when we were signed to Flavor Unit Management, Queen Latifah and Shakim, and the Queen, you know, she's like our mentor, and she was like, "Trent, you're the lead man, but you're gonna do more than just rapping because the game is always changing, and you never know where it might be, and whether you'll be multi successful and be able to do it. So you got to have something to fall back on." So she actually, if you see, go back to the movie Juice. She was in that movie, and from her management standpoint, she got me the opportunity to go read for that role. A role in there, which was Bishop in the movie. So as we all know, Tupac actually got the role of Bishop. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of people might not know is Tupac came with me to the reading. And Ernest Dickerson was directing everything else. Everybody was there. So me, honestly, I was the worst at reading because I never read before. I didn't know nothing about acting. So as you know, Pac went to the School of Arts in Baltimore and anything else. So they were really crunched, like trying to find somebody. So when they came out, Pac was there and they was like, "Well, who's your buddy?" I'm like, "This is my buddy Pac here." There's like, "You think he want to read?" I'm like, "Yeah, hold on." I'm like, "Pac, you want to read for this movie?" He was like up through the door before I even turned around. And then I hear him in there throwing stuff around. I run to the door actually to stand and listen because I'm thinking he's fighting in there, son. So I'm like, "Yo, what's good?" He's like, I read for this role. I said, bro, you better have it. You convince me. You better get this role." And long story short, he got the role. So he repaid back the favor. He was like, "Yo, they got me up here in this hotel in New York. I want you to come stay with me." Big Stretch, rest in peace. His brother Mo Preem, everybody, Ed Lover. So he had all his homies like in his room. He's like, "You come every day, and I know you could get an extra role or whatever else." So if you look at the movie Juice, I'm the darkest one in the Puerto Rican gang. Uptown, he's like, "How you with the Puerto Rican gang?" I said, "Well, to make where you it could make sense. I was Dominican. It was Uptown. I was from Washington Heights. I just was rolling with my Hispanic gang. You feel me?"
Your first choice as an actor.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Definitely. That's amazing. Now, I mean, you've done so much on TV and in movies since then. How does the experience compare for you? Because, I mean, you started off on the stage, small stages, they got bigger and bigger, and you've conquered that world. Yeah. How does the vibe, like, compare for, like, getting you motivated or getting you kind of hyped for what you need to do when you're performing for cameras instead of fans, instead of a crowd?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing, it's just another level, like, of that high. You know, that euphoria, like, you get on stage and, like, the energy and everything else. One thing, you don't have a crowd unless you're doing, like, theater or anything else and there's a crowd in front of you. But when you're there and just the release of just, it's performing. You know, it's not performing on a stage with a crowd, but you have a crowd there, which is the camera crews, the producers, the directors, the actors, the extras, the, you know, so that's your audience. Cause you see, after first certain sets, you had the crew and cast clapping and, like, you know what I mean? That's our release, because a lot of times we don't know how it's going to get edited or what's going to be in or out, but just coming and performing like that is just a whole different level of just like you're playing a professional sport. You know what I mean? And this is your release. This is your time to show off your talent.
Gotcha. Now, this movie in particular, I mean, it took me a little bit by surprise. I checked it out ahead of time. And, you know, as we're talking, it's January. We're coming off of a couple months of a network like Lifetime, really focusing on the warm and fuzzy stuff and the Christmas romances and all that. This is not that movie.
No.
Did you, I mean, I know you were familiar with what the project would be, but were you prepared for exactly how intense the whole project, the whole movie, the whole vibe of this thing would be? Because it is, it's really intense. I keep going back to that word, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Like, usually Lifetime movies are more family orientated. So I think this was really like a big, like, look at just the, I say Lifetime went gangster. You know, so at Lifetime, you know, has a audience and a cult following of their followers. So I guess they knew, like, it was like a certain market that they didn't reach, as far as, like, you know, really showing a real dramatic, gory type of gangster situations going on, you know. So I think it was like breaking new waters.
Yeah, and I like a movie like this, and Lifetime does a lot of this as well, where we're bringing in names that we know and names that we love, but we're seeing some of them in situations we haven't seen them in before, or playing parts we haven't seen before. You know, you were literally in the face in this movie of Tatiana Ali, who's the star. She plays sisters. She plays two different roles here. Yes. And she brings it in a way. I mean, like, if you know her from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and that's it, or from the Christmas movies or whatever, you're not prepared for what she pulls off here. But what was that like, seeing her change into this entirely different kind of character?
Totally amazing. Totally, like, just for one, when you go and do something like this with her likes, you're totally at first fanning. You know what I mean? Right. You're fanned out totally. Let me get better. Like, you're fanned out totally. So you're looking like, wow, this is. Like, you know how you say you grew up off of us? I grew up off of her. So to be there and seeing, like, beforehand when someone comes down and they're doing their lives, preparing for their lives, going through the motions or anything that's going on, and so professional and knocking their stuff out, and you grew up watching them, it's a cherry on top of everything that you're doing.
Yeah, it's amazing to see.
Like, two different roles in the same movie. So imagine everybody has to do that. But then, you know, her sweetheart, the little innocent girl is coming up on TV with you. But for her to get into two different roles and both of those sisters are totally different, it shows you her acting chops is like past phenomenal.
Definitely. And again,
fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to see. If you're not typically someone who looks at Lifetime movies as something you want on your must-see list or whatever, this is a movie you definitely need to check out. It's premiering January 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Lifetime Network. One more question for you, Tretch, before we let you go. Even in the acting world specifically, you've done a lot, but what is something, or just something in entertainment in general, I would say, that you haven't done yet that you'd like to do in the future?
Probably what I haven't done is basically just step out of the shadow of, like, everything's been mostly Naughty by Nature. You know what I mean? And the music stuff, just definitely getting my producer hat on as far as the acting and the movies and the film works, really just the producing aspect of it. Like, I produced my first movie, me and my buddy Ice-T, Taheen, rest in peace. He had put it together called Equal Standards. So that was the first time I officially, like, got into the producing realm, the behind the scenes. You know, I've always been in the lead man on stage or leading a movie, but to really be behind, I started directing and stuff, music videos and stuff. So that put me more into the realm of the behind the cameras type. So that's really my next big ambition, to really take it all over behind the scenes. And also, I'm getting into a few projects which is comedy based. Mm. So it's getting away from, you know, I usually do dramas, all, you know, the crazy action films and all the rest of that, but just getting in more of realms of stuff that I didn't do, you know, the first half of my career.
Yeah.
Which is just beautiful.
Awesome. So, I mean, whether it's music, whether it's movies, whether it's, you know, wherever you're taking it, we know it's going to be good. We know the best is yet to come from you. And we're really excited for everyone to be able to see this movie, Vanished, Searching for My Sister. We're excited for you, man. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yo, much love, yo. Y'all check this out. January 22nd, Lifetime, getting real gangster with you, man. You're going to love it, man. You're going to see some different things, and you're going to see just a gang of very talented actors and people together that's taking us to the next level. Something real good for the new year for you.
Absolutely. And guys, thank you once again for checking us out here on Celebrity Stage Stories, whether it's on video here on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. We're there. Subscribe, share. Make sure you get every episode as they are released. And once again, Tretch, man, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Much love. Thanks for having me. Respect.